come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Building a Future, a study through the book of Zechariah. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com. Now get your Bible and let's get started.
So Lord, I thank you, Father, for this study through the book of Zechariah. And Father, what a privilege it is to be in your word. We are so thankful, Lord. We are so blessed. We love you so much. We are just in awe of who you are, Lord, that your presence is here, that you love us, that you are amongst us, Lord, that you make your presence known. Thank you, Lord, for the worship that we've already participated in and that we have been drawn just to your very throne room, Lord. And we want to sit at your feet. We want your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you teach us this morning, Lord, what you have for us in this introduction to the book of Zechariah. Lord, thank you so much for what you are doing in our lives. And just help us to hear the things that you have to say to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. On page 13 of your book, you are going to want to be able to take notes on today's teaching. I was just reminded, and I also had that in my notes too, but a little further down, so I'm glad that you did that right then. So I was speaking with, you know, any of you that were here on Sunday and you heard Pastor Allen announce the women's Bible study, and he said, Zechariah. Oh, is that even in the Bible? Have we ever seen that? How many of you have ever you read Zechariah? Okay, so not just for this study, but you read it before this. Okay, so I see heads shaking. No, I haven't read it before. But you know that it's Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Doesn't that just blah, 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 blah? That sounds so good together. And they all work together. And so anyway, as we were putting together the Bible study, and Lisa began to write the Bible study. For those of you who don't know, Lisa, who did the announcements, is the one who has written your Bible study. And we were talking about it, and she said, so what are we going to study next? So we go from New Testament to Old Testament and back and forth. And so right away, I had been praying about it, and so right away I said, now I know that the Lord is telling us to teach Zechariah. And so she began to study, and I went home and read it. And then I went, are you sure? Did I hear clearly? Was I close? Yes. But what a great book it is. Oh my gosh, what it has in there. So last week, I was talking with another pastor's wife, and we were talking about what we're teaching in Bible study and so forth. And I said, oh yeah, we're doing the book of Zechariah. And she goes, oh, that's very interesting for a women's Bible study. Zechariah. And then she prayed for me. So, but the one thing about the book of Zechariah is that it has the largest number of messianic passages among the minor prophets. That means it talks about Jesus more than any of the other minor prophets, that there are more things about him in that. Almost every chapter has some reference to the Messiah. In fact, Zechariah is also known as a miniature Isaiah. Some of the same things are in there in the way that talks about the Messiah. The first eight chapters allude to the temple, and they encourage the people to complete their work on the new sanctuary. He's telling them, we want you to get in there, we want you to do the work. As they build the temple, they are building a future. That's why your Bible study is named that. They are building a future because that very structure is going to be the place where the Messiah or Jesus, when he comes, he will bring salvation because of that temple. It was all constructed for a purpose. Zechariah speaks of God's covenant faithfulness toward Israel through the work of the Messiah, especially in chapters 9 through 14. This book outlines God's plan. It outlines God's plan for his people during the time of the Gentiles until the Messiah comes to deliver them and reign upon the earth. And this hope of glory provides reassurance to the Jewish people, the hope of glory. This is a Jewish remnant that has come in, and we'll talk about that in a minute, at a time when circumstances were pretty tough. They came in, everything was hard. You know when you move to a new place? It's just hard. You know, we just moved on Thanksgiving week. We moved the offices. Those of you who know, our offices were right back here, and we moved Thanksgiving week to our new offices over here. Okay, and then we had the women's luncheon, and then we had, you know, and all of the, and it's so disorienting. It is hard. It just is, it's so hard. But these people had a hope in these hard times. They had a hope. They had a purpose. They had, Zechariah was telling them exactly what they needed to do and what to expect. And so all of this came together. Zechariah wants to do something that Haggai was not doing. Haggai and Zechariah were together at the same time. We'll also talk about that in a minute. But Zechariah wanted to promote the spiritual revival so that the people will call upon the Lord with humble hearts and commit their ways to him. He wants them to come to a place that they call upon the Lord with a humble heart and commit their ways to him. Now, what are all those passages that I said are going to refer to Jesus or to the Messiah? Now, I happen to know that in your homework, every day you have to come up with something in that portion of Scripture that you are going to look at and see if you see any part of Jesus in that, any part of the Messiah in that. So get your pens and paper ready. So in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it's referred to, the Messiah is referred to as an angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord. In chapter 3, again, verse 8, and in 6, 12, and 13, he is referred to as the righteous branch. Again, in chapter 3, verse 9, he is referred to as the stone with seven eyes. The stone with seven eyes. In chapter 6, verse 13, he's referred to as the king priest. The king priest. Chapter 6, verse 13, the king priest. Chapter 9, 9 and 10, the humble king. In chapter 10, verse 4, he is referred to as the cornerstone, as the tent peg, and as the battle bow. In 10:4, the cornerstone, tent peg, and battle bow. In chapter 11, verses 4 through 13, he is referred to as the good shepherd who is rejected, who was sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. The good shepherd who is rejected and sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Chapter 12, verse 10, chapter 12, verse 10, the pierced one. The pierced one. Chapter 13, verse 7, the smitten shepherd who is abandoned. The smitten shepherd who is abandoned. And chapter 14, the coming judge and righteous king. The coming judge and righteous king. So when you get to these chapters, you're going to want to refer to this when you're going, what does that mean? Okay, so I've helped you out in that. Remember, Zechariah's message is one of encouragement to the people to finish the rebuilding of the temple that had sat unfinished for 12 years. For 12 years. But he was aware that not all of the people who returned, not all of the remnant of the Jews who returned, were fully sincere in their desire to serve God. And he told them, he counseled them to repent of sin and return to God. Repent of sin and return to God with all of their hearts, all of their minds. To repent of sin, return to God with all of their hearts and all of their minds. The temple must be built because one day the Messiah's glory is going to inhabit that temple. That was the purpose for the temple. That was why it was being built. And this is something that to me was the whole thing of the introduction. The future blessing is contingent on present obedience. Future blessing is contingent on present obedience. So the people are not only building a building, but they are building a future. They're building the temple. Now we know that this is the temple. How are we caring for this temple? I'm not going to talk to you about the food you're eating. I'm not going to talk to you about the whether or not you exercise, but I am going to talk to you about what are you putting into this temple to make sure that you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Are you encouraging one another? That's rebuilding. That is building up the temple when we encourage one another. When we are tearing down each other, when we want to talk badly about each other, and we want to just pick at everything. And I know, ladies, we do it. Is there anybody else that does it? There's an issue, there's a person, at least sometime in your life. Come on, don't leave me standing here. You know, at least sometime in your life, maybe before you came to the Lord. But never since you've been with the Lord. So, you, and we want to, you know, just pick and pick at this about them and that about them because I'm not happy with that and they don't make me feel comfortable and they don't, blah, 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 blah. That is tearing down the temple and it will be in rubble like it was in Nehemiah when Nehemiah came to rebuild the temple. And you understand that when Nehemiah was there to rebuild the temple, when they finally dug through all of the rubble, what did they find? They found the Word of God buried in the rubble because they hadn't had their time in it. So that we need to remember that. With this as their motivation, that they were building a future, they can press on with this building project with wholehearted zeal because there was the promise of the Messiah. And ladies, isn't that just so exciting to you? I am so excited about the Messiah coming, about Jesus coming back for us. It was written in this book so many years ago, and I believe beyond any shadow of doubt that we are in the generation that we are going to see the coming of the Lord. I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. And there are those who are even sitting in here and you're saying, you know what, my grandma told me that. Her grandma before her told her that, that the Lord is coming back. I didn't have the advantage of having Christians in my background, but maybe you've heard it for a very long time. Jesus Christ is coming back. He is coming back. He is coming back, ladies. He is coming for us. He is coming for those who love his appearing, those of us who are looking for his coming. He wants to bless us. He wants us to walk with him. And I just can't. I'm so excited. But I look like Habakkuk did. And he said, I look throughout the whole, how long, O Lord, are you going to do this? How long are you going to allow this? But God will allow it until the perfect time. Until God the Father says, okay, it's time to get your bride. But don't put off whatever it is that God's telling you to do right now. Don't put it off. He's told us to do things. Every one of us, I'm betting that every one of us got a word from the Lord, if not at the first of the year, right now, today, because he's brought something into your mind that he's telling you to do, don't put it off. It could be the slightest thing. Don't put it off, because none of us know when our time is up. Don't waste a second. Does that mean that you need to be everywhere, every moment, at every time? No. God might be speaking to you and saying to you, stop. Sit down. Rest. Experience true peace. You know, I want to bring it up now, but it's in my notes later, but our retreat. You know what the theme of our retreat is? Hashtag hope. Hashtag hope. That's our retreat this year that we're putting together. And I am excited to see what God's going to do, because we need that hope. And we want to bring it into all of our lives. And so he is coming for me. I got from Bill a song when he was in Mexico, and they sang it, and I would just so ruin it if I tried to do it, but because of the pronunciation, not because I have a horrible voice also, but because of the pronunciation. But it goes, I know the Lord is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I know he's coming for me. I know the Lord is coming. The only thing I don't know, is he coming for you? So that's my question. Is he coming for you? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm assuming that that has happened, but I can't assume anything. None of us can assume anything about someone else. And so make sure, have I given my heart to the Lord? Am I walking with him? Am I seeking to serve him in every way possible? Am I confessing my sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness? Am I pure before him? Am I allowing him? And when he comes, will I be ready? I know I'm ready. I don't know about you. So you can point that same finger at me, and you can say, I'm ready, but I don't know about you. So anyway, so Zechariah's name means Yahweh, or God remembers. God remembers, or God has remembered. Yahweh has remembered. Here's an interesting thing to me that as I was studying, to see that Zechariah's prophecy practically closes the Old Testament. There's only one book after Zechariah, and that's Malachi. It is next to the final book, Malachi, and the New Testament opens chronologically, not with Matthew. Chronologically, it would open with the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, we have the account of Zacharias, which is another translation of Zechariah, meaning Jehovah remembers. His wife's name is Elizabeth, and her name meant his oath. God remembers his oath. New Testament Zacharias was a priest who was serving at the altar of incense when an angel appeared to him with a message from God after 400 years of silence. That's what the New Testament opens up with. It opens up with God remembered his oath. Old Testament Zechariah was of a priestly lineage of the son of Berechiah, which means blessed by Yahweh, and a grandson of Iddo, which means joyous. What a heritage to have. Joyous blessings by God, and God remembers. That's the lineage of going through there from grandfather to father to Zechariah. Joyous, blessed by God, and God remembers. How cool is that? What a lineage to have. Oh, well, he was the son of, and the son of, and the son of. That means nothing to me. But when I look at that, and that's what I want to encourage us all to do, look up the meanings of these names. Look up when you see something, and I've talked to you guys before about this. When you see something in the Word as you're reading through, and you go, oh, that's weird that that's there. That's not, they don't usually write it that way or something. Find out why they wrote it that way. When something is all described with colors and lines and arrows and all that sort of thing, that's not normal. Find out why that's in there. That's how we study our Bible. That's how we find out what's going on. And so Zechariah, he was born in Babylon. He was brought by his grandfather to Palestine with the very first group of exiles when they returned under Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says that he was young. He was a younger contemporary of Haggai. And Matthew, so he was called to prophesy in 520 BC, for those of you who love to write down all of the little history things. So 520 BC. In Matthew 23:35, we have an account of his death. There is some controversy, as I read through the commentaries, on whether or not this was the same one, but I have come to the conclusion after a lot of reading that, yes, I am on the right page when it comes to this. In Matthew 23:35, it indicates that he was murdered between the temple and the altar, in the same way that an earlier Zechariah was martyred. And that account of the earlier Zechariah is in 2 Chronicles 24, 20, and 21. So you'll want to check that out and see what the Lord shows you on whether or not we are all on the same page with that. I've said to you that Zechariah was a younger contemporary of Haggai, the prophet. Haggai began his prophecy 2 months, I believe it was, before. I needed to check that out really quickly to make sure that I am not lying to you. The 8th month of the 2nd year, and Haggai was the 6th month of the 2nd year of King Darius. Yes, and so I was correct. I'm so excited. Should have checked that out and not let you see how messed up I am. So you can check that out. But Zechariah would continue to prophesy well into the reign of Xerxes, in 486 through 464 BC. You know King Xerxes. You know about him. He was also known as King Ahasuerus. He was the one who got so drunk at his party and was so offended that his wife, Queen Vashti, that he loved dearly, would not show up. She said she refused to come in the way that he was. He banished her from the court, and then later was repentant from it, wanted something else to happen, and that's when Esther came into the picture. God had it set up so that Esther was in that place at that time, as such a time as this. So at that time, Zechariah were still ministering at the time that Esther was going on. So a little note to put in there. The historical setting for verses 1 through 8 is 520 to 518 BC, identical to that of Haggai. Work was resumed on the temple in 520 BC, and the project was completed in 516 BC. Chapters 9 through 14 are undated, but it's believed to be between 480 and 470, between 480 and 470 BC. And Haggai was the practical guy. J. Vernon McGee says, Haggai was the one who was out there with the tape measure. He was the one who was making sure the actual work got done. Zechariah, as we'll see very quickly in the very first chapter, was a visionary. He saw lots of visions on one day, and he put it all together. So there was the visionary, and there was the practical working together at the same time. How good it is of God to let us know that he's going to put us with the right people to work with. How good is that? Because, you know, the practical guy sometimes has a difficulty. They're so practical that they have difficulty catching the whole vision or envisioning something. They can take it from a picture, but they have a little bit of trouble envisioning something. Then they need that person who is a visionary who oftentimes has trouble being practical. Visionaries are very seldom practical at all. I can say that from experience. And how good it is that these two men were working at the same time together, so they filled in the gaps for each other, and that we're all fitly formed together. We all work together. We all have our proper place. And because it's, you know, I'm saying it all the time. Oh, I wish I were more like, and I wish I could do like, and, but you know what? God made me. And I've got gifts that other people don't have. And so if I'm allowed to use my gifts in their life and they are allowed to use their gifts in my life, how good it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's just as simple as that. And so they worked together. So God had them ministering to the same people at the same time to give clarity and get the practical work done, i.e. the temple actually built. Now, for a people who are newly returned from exile, Zechariah provided specific prophecy about their immediate future and the distant future. Well, at first glance, when we look through this book, it's going to look like this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. That's not the way it happened. Some things might have happened right away, but many things are still to come. So there's the immediate and the distant future. But no doubt that was a great encouragement to those people who had come in to a new place in disarray. Not everything was put together. Their nation would still be judged for their sin, though. We're going to see that in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But they would also be cleansed and restored, chapter 3, 1 through 10. And God will rebuild his people. And that shows up in chapter 1. I love that. I love that he rebuilt the people before he did all the cleansing and the restoring and the judgment and all of that. It kind of made sense to me. At first I was going, well, don't you have to deal with your sin first? Don't you have to be cleansed first? Don't you have to be? But God would build his people first so that they can respond to that cleansing, and so that they knew what it was that they were sinning. So it does go in perfect order for me, but I'm a little slow on things. So this book contains its share of judgments on the people of Judah and beyond, but one thing that it overflows with is hope. That's why I wanted to tell you about our retreat, hashtag hope. It overflows with hope. It's really easy for us. I don't know about anybody else, but it's really easy for me. I try not to listen to the news before I come in here, because it's really easy for me to get into a place where I'm just, oh, how can, oh, oh, Everything, everywhere is horrible. It's never going to come to, oh, it's awful. Everything awful. And what I did hear this morning, yes, it's awful. But God provides us with a hope. And he said that he would be our hope. We lose our perspective and we live as people without hope. We lose our perspective and we live as people without hope. What is hope? Where does it come from? Sorry. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It comes from faith. Hope comes from faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. So the book of Zechariah serves as a correction for that tendency in our lives. It serves as a correction for that tendency in our lives. We have a hope that is for sure. So, ladies, do your homework. And let's dig into this fantastic book together and let's find out what God has for us. Okay? Okay, God, we are so thankful, Lord, for your word. We're thankful, Lord, that you have brought us to this place. And Lord, we love you. We are just thankful, Lord, for the way that you have ministered to us. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a hope that is sure. We want to continue, Lord, to pray for our country. We continue, Lord, especially as we look at the Supreme Court's judgments that are coming up. Lord God, we put our lives in your hands, and we know, God, that you are in control. And just as the Pope spoke this morning, the government does not dictate what we believe. Just because they say something is right doesn't affect what we believe. So, Lord, we trust you, and we pray, Father, that our country would come to a place of repentance. Lord, that you would use us in whatever way possible to respond to the people in need. Lord, those who need to be built up in their inner being, Lord. They need to return to the Lord. They need to repent so that they don't need to be judged. I thank you, Lord, for this book of Zechariah. Help us to consume it, Lord, and to make it happen in our lives. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
Been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.